Well, hello, witches. Here we are again. It is getting to be random year wrap-up time. So we are about to almost be at our 100th episode. Can you even believe it? I don't know. We've only been doing this podcast for many, many years now. Anyway, today we're talking about bread. We're talking about other food. We're talking about tea. We're talking about death cafes. We're talking about something called the Human Library. So many topics today. It is just a smorgasbord of excitement and fun. So we're so glad you have joined us, and enjoy.
Put a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do.
The pressing.
Yes.
It is every time we talk about the pressing. Hello.
It's the pressing, not depressing.
Not depressing. That's right. I'm doing
it. Tell me about this caftan and head scarf combo you've got.
Daishiki happening. Yeah. So
I love it.
Thank you. My wonderful Mr. Blackbird was, I guess, happening along many a San Diego street one day, and he came across a fancy little Jamaican store, and he bought me this amazing, I think this is really supposed to be a belt, but I have fashioned it into a headscarf, and also he bought me a meditation cushion there as well. So
aww,
I know, it was very lovely. It was very sweet. Yes. Yeah, it is 100% a caftan, and I am rocking it as only I can.
I love it.
Thank you. I do too. Well, holy crap. Wow. I have so much to talk about.
I only have a little bit to talk about.
I want you to talk.
Good,
I talked the whole last time. Yeah.
No. You're going to talk more this time too.
No, I'm
because
so
you can probably tell that my voice is a little
raw. Oh, no.
And,
there's more sickness has befell your house.
No, it's really just trying to avoid the sickness. My lymph nodes are very swollen, and I'm drinking lots of tea to avoid getting sick, because promptly after recovering from the COVID, Mr. Scarlet promptly contracted strep.
How did he do this? How?
I don't know what he's licking out in public, but
tell him
he needs
to keep his tongue inside his mouth. I mean, unless it's a good thing. You know what I mean. But yeah, like, hey, you know what I'm talking about. Ayo. Yeah. Look out.
Whoa. We need more like morning DJ sound effects.
We do.
Like, wah, 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 wah.
Yep. Wah, 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 wah. Like lasers. you know,
Mr. Blackbird could help us with that.
I'm guessing he could. Big lip smack there. That's the worst. Oh, we are hex rated. I am Blackbird.
I'm Scarlet.
We are together here today and talk about shit that's happening. Okay. Tell me more about your lymph nodes, please.
No, I was done with the lymph nodes.
Can I lick them? But I don't know.
Well, the first thing is I would like to publicly thank you for sending me delicious, delicious bread. Blackbird honored my bread standing and sent me a loaf of sourdough wheat. And let me just say, as soon as I opened, like as soon as I popped the tape on the box, I was transported to a magical witchy bakery, because I could smell it immediately. It smelled divine. It tastes shamazing. You also sent me two soul cakes, which I have been very delicately nibbling to savor.
Nice.
And they were also fantastic. So thank you very much.
You are most
mega
welcome.
Fucking impressed.
Oh, you're most welcome.
And let me say, the most amazing thing about your bread is that it literally makes everything else it comes into contact with taste better. Because I just toasted up, I lightly toasted some bread, and I just made myself a little cup of balsamic vinegar and olive oil and some salt. And this is just like generic brand, whatever, olive oil. And it made it taste like all smoky and fruity. Ooh. And like somebody's Greek is like hand pressing the olives in some mystical ancient Hellenic grove. So thumbs up.
Confession. Thumbs up. I put Walmart pumpkin spice cream cheese on it and it made that shit taste like it was $1 million. So yeah. I mean,
hell yeah.
I'm just saying the bread is the bomb. And it's not like, okay, I have a little bit to do with it, I'm sure. But honestly, just the recipe is so good. And it's just now it's at the point where I feel like I'm complicating things by adding this. Oh, corrections corner. Tang Zong is Chinese. Way to go, dummy. I think I said Japanese on the last episode. So please.
You had a disclaimer on there. I did. You admitted it was a guess.
But I will say it is Chinese for a fact. And like I'm just like now I'm just like fucking with it. Why do I feel like I need to fuck with it? I mean, it's good.
Why not?
I don't. Yeah, you're right. I guess. Listen, just like keep
stop,
going.
Stop. You're making these crazy restrictions on your creativity, and you need to shut the fuck up.
I will bake me
some more bread.
Shake a can of pennies at myself and bake.
Yes.
Listen, your video is very grainy. Should we attempt a? I mean, I kind of like it. Like,
I don't think it's affecting the audio quality.
You're fucking
in any
pixel
capacity.
Pixel as fuck. I love it. You look like you're in a fucking 8-bit game. I love it.
It looks fine on my camera.
Yeah, no. Maybe it's my dumb shit. Who knows?
I think it's your dumb shit.
It is my dumb shit. That's a fact. Well,
speaking of some other deliciousness that you have gifted me, ooh. I am, to soothe my swollen lymph nodes, I am having a hot cup of tea through my little bombilla.
Oh.
And it is some loose leaf tea that you gifted me from Ritual Craft. It is the Justice Now tea, and 100% of the proceeds go to Black Lives Matter. So not only is it for a good cause, but it also is fucking delish.
What's the, remind me what that is, because I don't remember.
I'm gonna read off the ingredients to you right now.
Do it.
And it is lemon verbena, alfalfa, rosemary, lavender, and thyme. And so it is a little bit savory. Mm-hmm. So the rosemary and thyme are very forward in it, but I love it. I mean, rosemary is delicious. And I put a little bit of dried mint on top to top it off for like a little more refreshment in my throat.
Yeah.
And I put a splash of goat milk, ooh, which they now sell at Tom Thumb.
Yay.
And it is really yummy. And then some local honey.
Oh.
So
delish.
It is healing me as we speak.
That sounds amazing.
And also,
yeah, go.
Go ahead.
No, you go. Go.
I was just gonna say props to Ritual Craft, because it comes in a very cute little squarish metal tin, and they pack that tea in there.
That's good.
Because I feel like every time I open this tin, it appears to be full again. So it's just really packed in there.
That's awesome.
So you get a lot of tea for your buck. So well done.
Unlike Magic,
to
I mean,
you?
Magic Hour, you get enough tea for your buck. That tea is,
it has some room to breathe, is what we're saying.
Yes.
This tea is packed in there. That, or it's magic tea that replenishes itself by magic overnight, which would also be lots of
that. Well, it is a store of witches by witches, so that would not,
it is,
would
indeed
not surprise me. That's a very nice dovetail into kind of some of what our topic is today. I mean, I have a couple, but so Ritual Craft, the store, it is in Colorado.
Oh, hey, I didn't even mean for that.
But
to be
you
a
fucking
segue,
did it.
But
good
fucking
job.
Perfect.
See,
I meant to do it.
Snaps all around. She's fucking getting it. It's a good dovetail. We'll do it. It's a segue. So Ritual Craft is a store of witches by witches in Colorado. I want to say, is it in Denver?
Denver.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they have, their online presence is fantastic, by the way. Like, the store is phenomenal. Like, just the curated everything about that store. I have gifted so much shit from that store to people that I know and love. Just, they have just an excellent, whoever does the buying and deciding what they're going to carry, just A++. Sponsor
they,
us.
They were very much on the vanguard of sort of like the Instagram witch talk sort of aesthetic that sort of has exploded, but you know, the sort of this new guard of metaphysical shop that is slowly replacing and eclipsing the sort of 1960s, 1970s
new age
hippie shops, new age shops, which
not afraid to say witch, not afraid to say occult. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and to have kind of a little bit of a darker, more kind of gothic cottagecore aesthetic.
Yeah, so, cottagecore.
That's them.
Yeah, it is them. And I have never been to the shop in real life. I really want to go. We luckily have...
It's very large.
Have you gone?
Specifically for like... Yes, I have been.
Oh, yeah.
It's very delightful. And they have some seating. The music is goth as fuck.
Oh, I bet. Well,
they
were
playing like some deep cuts. They were playing like fucking like Agnes Circle or Second Soul, like some like modern goth music. That
amazing
deep cuts. So
well, and they have a lot. I mean, for those of you in the area, they have a lot of. And I'm sure if you're in the area, you already know this shit. I don't know why I'm telling you. Maybe if you're planning on going to Denver anytime soon, they have a lot of in-store events, like not just sales or markets, which they do have a lot of that, but they also have like special guests, special readers. The Aura Weaver is there probably 6 or 7 times a year and does like aura readings and gives you a little picture of your aura, which is super cool. But anyway, they also have a school. And what I mean is, it is not go sit there and learn things. Although I'm sure they do offer classes in real life, but they offer a lot of virtual courses. And I'm sure the range is vast, all from, I'm sure, from tarot reading to the thing that I attended, which is for lack of a better term, I'm going to call it a death cafe, because that's what it was. It's basically... this woman who is a death doula in the Colorado area, her name is Carla Torres. She has her own business and it is called A Venerated Death. So you can find her at avenerateddeath.com.
That is a very evocative name.
It is. And she's absolutely wonderful. So I've gone to, she hosts this every, it's the first Sunday of every month. Through Ritual Craft School, and it's $10. And so far, I've gone to...
That's a bargain.
It's a total bargain. That's why I was like, I'm 100% signing up. Because, you know, most online classes, it's more than that. And this is not really a class. It's really, she is just creating a space where people can come and talk about... I mean, she has a topic, but it's really more about... let's process our feelings about death. And so the first one I went to, which was last month, was around, have you thought about what you want at the time of your death and maybe directly after? And so, you know, we've talked about that before, about when I went to the Inelda training, that we had to write copious amounts of detail about what we wanted. And the amazing thing is, I think, you know, that's been several years ago. That was in 2019 for me when I did that training. And now it's like, well, I kind of want the same things, but I also like things that are evolving. I have to think about, well, what if I don't get to die at home? What if I am in a hospital? What if my friends can't get to me? You know, like, I have to think about all these other things that I really didn't think about in an idealistic way at the training, that I was just like, well, here's what I want and this is what's going to happen, motherfuckers, you know?
So, yeah, but I think that's a good place to start. Just high in the sky, like taking the leap. And I mean, because just taking that step of like
thinking about it,
you're dying.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and letting go of what you think death ritual is supposed to be about, and letting go of what you think your family and friends might expect and whatever, and to think about that. I mean, that's the best place to start. And then, like, as you said, it's going to evolve. It's going to change. You're going to think of more contingencies.
Right.
You know, you're going to have time to hammer out some practicalities or some backup plans and things, which is great. And the reason why you have that advantage is because you've started thinking about it now instead of, you know, at the last minute.
Right. That's right. And that's kind of what, you know, there were so far at each course that I've been at, or cafe, whatever you want to talk, whatever you want to call it. There's only been, I think, the most number of people that there is, like, six plus Carla. So it's like a very small group, very intimate, very everybody's getting to share. So it's not like you're just in a big room with 50 people that, or a big Zoom room with 50 people that, you know, nobody gets to speak. And so it's been really interesting to hear other people's thoughts. I would say, and this is, this is not a pat on the back. I mean, it is, it's not, I don't know. I would say that the majority of people are still, like, coming to it with a lot of fear and trepidation. And I'm not saying I don't, but I really did like her take on fear of death and how it is like a, it is, you have it one day and maybe the next day you don't. It's like it's like any kind of emotion. It's not constant, and it's more like a wave that you go through. Times where you are fine with thinking about your own death, and there's other times where it scares the shit out of you. And I like that, because I've always thought, well, I have to, like, I need to gain acceptance. I need to just be in acceptance of the fact that I'm gonna die. Well, some days you are and some days you aren't, and that's just how it is. You know, so I
that's so refreshing to be told that.
What, that you can be scared?
Yeah, yeah. Well, just that it comes in waves. Yeah. That the process is not a one of, you know, gradual acceptance and then you're done.
Right.
The acceptance has occurred.
Right.
You know, and I think that, and not just with accepting death, but really accepting any circumstance. Yeah. I think people beat themselves up about it, feeling like, you know, I should just get over this.
Right.
And
absolutely.
And having these moments of trepidation, or moments when you're not feeling as cool or put together, doesn't mean that you have to start at square one or that you have failed or whatever. Like,
no, it's like completely fucking normal. And I mean, normal, quote, quote. But, you know, like, it's, I think that is the human experience. We're not here to just, like, move in this linear direction. I mean, even though we do with age and time and shit, but, like, expand your mind, man. No.
I have a quick question. Yeah. On that topic. Yes. And I certainly don't want you to put words in people's mouths, but I was kind of surprised to hear you say that you felt like some of the other participants seemed to be at a less comfortable, or like, less, I mean, I don't know how you want to say it, because I don't want to say anything that sounds pejorative.
No.
Like, they're not as far along on the journey as you are. No. Or something. I don't want to make it sound like they are green or noobs or naive or something, but it just surprised me, because it seemed like the people that would seek out or see,
right,
something about a death cafe would probably be other people that are in the,
like,
the death doula business, right, or adjacent things, or, you know, other very adjacent fields where it's something that they are either on, like, a charitable or professional level are thinking, have done some thinking about already. So do you have anything else to add about that? Because that really surprised me when
sure
you just said
do.
That.
Well, I think the first group that I was in was very small. I think it was only four people. And out of the four of us, I think one of the participants had maybe had a recent death, and maybe Carla had facilitated with that person, because I think they seem to know each other and have a previous relationship. And I think Carla is helping the participant to, like, get through her grief, or at least work mm-hmm. through some of it. So I think she came from that perspective. There was another participant that hadn't really, like, hadn't really thought about it, but thinks it's a good conversation to have. That's what it seems to be. It's like, I feel like maybe I was early because I've been watching like Caitlin Doughty for forever. It feels like, oh, like her. For like 10 years. So I feel like, but I feel like now it's like, I don't want to say death is hot, but I mean, I think things are, there, people know more now. I think with COVID and everything, I think this is more prevalent in people are considering end of life instead of just living their entire life and not talking about it, not thinking about it, or like being too scared to talk about it with people. I think people want to talk about it now. So in the second group, which was a little bigger, there was a nurse who had been like on the front lines through COVID. She shared that she had had some, you know, like some, you know, traumatic experiences with that. And she was there to kind of work through that, kind of work through her traumatic experiences. There was also a hospice worker. And then there was another person that worked with animals. But like, oh. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot. And I don't want to say, but I did feel like that some of the participants were like, I'm here. This is my first step. You know, like they don't have anywhere else to talk about it. So I think they have found this class that she's offering, or, you know, it's really just a group of people talking. And need that outlet. And I think that's more prevalent than anything. And I agree, there are not a lot of people in my life that I think, like, I don't know that Mr. Blackbird wants to have these conversations, to be quite honest. You know, I mean, we do occasionally, but not like deep, like I would have them with you or with my other friends that I have like participated in witchcraft events and activities with, you know? So, I mean, I think there is a place where people are just not comfortable. And I certainly don't ever want to push somebody into, you know, into that if they don't want to go.
That's really, I think, kind of speaks to why the emerging profession of being a death doula is so urgently needed. Mm-hmm. Because you just described three different professions that deal with death on the regular. Yep. And the fact that these people have been doing this professionally every day and are just now being able to find a community or a space where they can unpack some of these feelings. You wish that was a part of the job. Yeah. For them.
Yeah.
That like the same training that goes into being a vet tech or a vet or hospice worker or anybody that's doing end of life care or any kind of frontline worker, EMS, anything like that, you would think that ought to be part of it. Yeah. You know, it doesn't surprise me that it's not, of course.
Well, and I don't want to say it's not everywhere. It might be. There right. might be some programs, and maybe people do or do not take advantage of those programs, or maybe those programs are kind of shit and don't work, or maybe you don't want to talk to the people you work with every day about the thing you are all experiencing every day. Maybe you want to talk with straight up strangers. I don't know.
Right.
But I was glad to see that there are other people, and death cafes happen everywhere. So it's not like this is like a new thing or a thing that is, you know, unique, but I think it is a thing that is so needed, and people feel, I think, really so much better after having the conversation and just saying like, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to not know. I mean, none of us can know. So it's, but anyway, the first one was about talking about what you want at the end of your life. And the second one was really interesting because she basically had a lot of quotes from like Marcus Aurelius and like people of ancient times speaking about death. And it was very like all the quotes seemed to have like the same, and a lot of people, TED Talks on death, everybody has the same conclusion. If you contemplate your own death enough, you're going to start living differently. And I love that. And I don't know if that's like, it's one thing to say that out loud and have that ideal and say, I am going to, that's right, motherfucker. I'm going to do all the things I want to do because we never, I could, you know, slip on a leaf and crack my head wide open tomorrow. You know, I don't know. But one of the things she asked us was, what would you, you know, what is your feeling right now with the relationships in your life if you were to, if you were to die today? I was like, man, that's a, I said, you know, my answer was, I actually feel really in a really good place with the people I know and love right now. And I would be okay. Like, I'm not saying no regrets, not a one.
No regrets.
No regrets, not a one. No, of course I have some regrets, but I'm actually, I feel like, minus the job I do for 8 hours a day, I mean, I really, and even then, I have things that I am proud of in that job and the way I, you know, handle my team or whatever. Like, I am good. Like, I feel okay. Of course, there are still things I want to do, but, like, I'm not full of, like, sorrow about my past. So that's great. I don't know that I could have always said that.
Yeah, or feeling like there's things left unsaid, right, with loved ones.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little...
There's always
that, a little. Or people that you lost touch with that you wish you wouldn't have, or you had a rift with that you wish you could mend. But, you know, I honestly, the older I get, the more I come to peace with all of that, too. There's nothing... I mean, if somebody doesn't want to talk to me anymore, there's not much I can do to convince them, you know, and I'm not going to like break my back trying. It's just, right. Yeah. So I thought that was a really interesting question. And I, you know, it's not something I go to sleep and I go, I'm good. Good night world. I am fine. You could take me tomorrow. I don't think like that, but I do like the idea of thinking that if you, you know, if you do give it some thought, if you do at least face, not like face your fear and overcome it, but just like acknowledge that you have fear about it, I think it starts changing your day to day. I really do.
Well, even in just the smallest way of talking about it or thinking about it, and the furthest you get is, I am not ready to talk about this, right, or this is making me feel deeply icky. I think just even those moments are ways that you start to digest,
right,
that it's starting this kind of metabolic process of breaking down these, I mean, primal fears. Like, you are programmed as an organic being to like want to stay alive.
Yes.
So, I mean, as chill or laissez-faire or enlightened or zen or whatever you want to call it that you think you are, I mean, you are programmed to try to keep trucking.
Right.
So there's always going to be that like lizard brain in the back of your head that is going to have this like primal knee-jerk response.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, that's normal. And, but yeah, I think just even having that on your radar and periodically touching base with yourself and being like, nope, this is still really, you know, like, I think that every time you have one of those moments, there is a shift internally.
Oh, yeah.
That you're slowly, and it might be microscopic increments, but there is a transformation happening.
Yeah.
By confronting these thoughts in small ways.
Right. I think the thing that I don't know. I mean, we can talk for hours about what do we think happens after we die.
Well, that's what we're doing.
No, but I mean, like, I think about how, and this helps me, of course I'm fucking scared, but I'm not as scared when I think of it as just another transition. Like, it's, I don't know what's fucking going to happen when I cross that crossover, but like, I hope it's fucking cool, and I can choose to think it's fucking cool, and that helps me be less scared, I guess. I mean, it's the one thing that happens to all of us. So, like, I just don't see any point in white knuckling my life and like, nope, you know, where you just like close your eyes and just like walk blindly into the sun. Like, I don't want to live that way. I want to, and it's not like I can be ready, but I can like, I don't know, just live the way I want to live now so that I don't get to that point, or, you know, whether I know it's going to happen or not, where I'm not like at the point and think, oh, fuck, you know, I fucking did all this shit. And something that kept, wow, really coming to my mind when in this last one, and I don't know that I've shared this on the show, but like, when my mom was dying and it was like her last, I don't know, she could still talk. So it was like, oh, the last week. And I think my sister and I were both there, and I looked at my mom. She was awake ish, you know, as you are in that whole where your body is trying to give the fuck up. You do not want to talk that much. But, I asked her if she was scared. And that was apparently the wrong fucking question to ask my mother, because she immediately looked at me with her like steely, as much anger as she could muster, or like just steely gaze. And like in her like very hoarse, you know, voice, she said, next question. Or no, next subject. It was like, next subject. And I don't know why, but like in the moment, it was like a gut punch. Like, I had to walk to the door because I was crying. Now, granted, I was very fucking emotional. My mother is on her deathbed, basically. But, like, the fact that she didn't want to even acknowledge that she was dying really upset me. And I don't, like, it's like, but why? Like, that's her life, her mind. It's not mine. And maybe it's just because I am so scared that I will be that same way, that I will be so scared that I won't even admit that it's happening. I don't know. But I think my reaction was kind of fascinating to me now. And just her reaction was, I mean, now I'm like, that was fucking hilarious. Way to go, Mom. Way to shut me down. But I don't know. That just kept coming up for me during the last one. I didn't share that with the everybody there, but yeah, that was a really powerful moment for me.
That's really fascinating. I mean, there's so many layers to that mm-hmm. moment, mm-hmm. you know, and I think,
yeah,
you know, considering like who she was speaking to, you know, like what she was kind of saying to herself,
yeah.
You know, choosing kind of a haughty,
yeah, oh,
not
very,
not necessarily angry, but yeah. But is an interesting. I mean, it's like there's a part of me that like kind of admires,
right?
It.
No,
that like
absolutely
in that moment when your body is like you said, trying to stop,
yeah,
that her will is so indomitable, yeah, that like she can put on this air of above it allness,
yeah,
that and dismissiveness,
right?
That I love that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, now, you know, I like that you point all that out, because that is very my mom. I mean, that's 100% her, you know, to the end. And you know, she really did hang the fuck on, because she was on all kinds of medication at the end and everything, and like they had stopped all that. And I mean, it was like 6 days, and that is a long time to be in a Hampton Inn with your sister wondering if today's the day. I mean, it was just, it seemed like, and it's not really a long time, but it's like, you know, hospice, they couldn't tell us like, oh, she should be, you know, there's nothing, she's not eating, she's not drinking, you know, you can only last so long. But she really held the fuck on. And, you know, I know we've talked about this, about how I went up there the night before she died and, like, I don't know, word vomited to someone that I really didn't think could hear. She totally fucking heard me, and she died the next morning. Like, as soon as I left, she died. Like,
wow.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, it still blows my mind that that happened. But I think, like, I told her everything that I had not told her. And that was just, I needed to. And then I read her some poetry, and then she waited for me to leave. As soon as I got back to the hotel, they were on the phone saying she's gone. So
that is
crazy. And they say that happens a lot, that people wait. That there's either people that are waiting for somebody to show up and then they go, or they wait for everybody to leave the room and then they go. But wow. And I've read a lot of stuff by hospice workers or people in the death care field, and they are very like adamant about how we can somewhat possibly choose our time. Like if we're in those stages, we might have some control over that. So that's something to look forward to. Maybe you can make a big,
that's fascinating,
big exit. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. But I think that speaks to, you know, like if the idea of being helpless is part of your fear of death, of this helplessness of just,
it's gonna happen.
There is a moment of acceptance at the very end. To me, is really exciting.
Yeah,
it's almost like a fuck you,
right?
You know,
right?
And also as to people that would be the bystanders of this, that even if it seems as though your presence is not noted, or that they are not able to communicate, or that you worry that they can't hear you or know that you're there, that it seems like professionals in the field confirm that people do seem to be aware, yeah, on some level, even if it is not conventional, like
cognitive, they hear everything, see everything. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think there is something to be said for, like, you know, they always say the hearing is still there, like, until the moment you die. So like that, I thought about that night, but I really didn't think, like, you know, she was on quite a bit of morphine. I thought, she can't. She's not hearing any of this. I can say whatever I want. I mean, it was really freeing for me, but then, you know, instantly after she died and, like, you know, I got home, I was like, man, I should have told her all that shit when I was alive. So if that's like one takeaway from this, like if you've got shit to say to somebody, try to say it while they're alive just so you can feel better, I guess. I don't know, but it was like stuff that was scary to tell her when she was alive. Like, hi, Herman.
Mr. Herman was like, you're here.
Black dogs all about it.
Little bitty. He says, I'm telling you right now what I think.
I'm glad. Don't wait, Herman.
I'm tell you, little bitty.
Tell me now. No.
I know, little dude.
But, you know, like things like, I'm a witch. I never told her that. Which, you know, we had been doing stuff for like years before she passed away. So, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I thought it was really interesting that you just said, I told her all this stuff because I thought she couldn't hear me. But obviously you did.
Yeah.
Feel like, I mean, she could. Yeah. Otherwise you wouldn't have said it. You know, like, why?
Yeah.
Why act out this, right, like one woman play? For no audience.
Crazy. No, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure on some level, I guess I kind of hoped she could, and I could not, and it was like the writer I am, I can't get an audience reaction IRL. So, you know, like she was not able to respond. So is that like part of my thing? You know, like I love writing because I have no idea how you fucking feel about it, and it's not that I don't care, but I have no idea, and that's the way I prefer it. So, like, is that part of it? I like to unpack my own shit while we're on live air.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, now that I think about it, that's pretty apropos. So, yeah. But no. But I really enjoyed just the course that she's offering. She calls it Death in the Morning. Because it's like it's early in Colorado, but it's like noon for me, which is nice. But I like that the topics are thoughtful, and I like that everybody seems to want to participate. So that's great. There's no like talking over, And I've been really lucky that there's no, like, you know how on, I don't know if you did a lot of virtual stuff like during COVID or whatever, but like there's always one fucking weirdo. There's always one person that wants to ruin it for everybody. And I don't want to be specific, but you know what I'm fucking talking about, Zoom people. Like, there's always one, like, attention, like, getter. And there's not been any of that, which has been very nice. I hope it's not me. Like, now that I'm saying that, am I that person? Shit.
No.
No, I don't think so. I try to be very respectful. But anyway, so Death in the Morning through Ritual Craft School, Carla Torres, A Venerated Death. Yay. That's my plan.
So how long does this go?
It's an hour and a half. Session.
I think that's a good amount for a heavy topic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, 30 minutes would be way too short. I feel like an hour is kind of where you start really rolling at about the 45 minute mark. You know,
yeah,
like,
I think an hour and a half is good because she usually, there's, I know the both times that I've gone, there's been like a video that we watch. Like, it's either a TED Talk by another death doula or like the clips with the audio of different quotes, and that we could mm-hmm. reflect on those quotes. I took some notes. Hang on, let me see if I have those notes. Here, do some vamping now while I look for these notes.
Oh, well, I would like to tell everybody about my pretty amazing hockey witchcraft last night, or the night before last.
Yes!
So,
oh, yes.
So I have done some hockey witchcraft before, but it was like playoff related, you know? And
this is not, right?
And I've always kind of been like, I don't want to like, quote unquote, waste my magic on stuff that's very fucking trivial. But it's not a finite resource.
No.
So, you know, whatever. And, oh my God, let me tell you, the Stars were playing the Columbus Blue Jackets away. And the first 5 minutes of this game was like the most dog shit I've ever seen a team play. Like, it was silly. It looked like a bunch of guys in sneakers playing against like actual hockey players.
Like, they had no idea.
Oh my God, it was horrible. There was like not a single tape-to-tape pass.
Oh my God.
It was all just straight breakaways, completely unopposed, straight at our goalie.
No.
And they scored two goals. It was fucking horrible.
Oh,
like, it was it was so bad. And so as a joke, I got up and I got a little cup of fleur de sel salt and some water. And I had this dried sprig of wormwood. And I started flicking the salt water at the TV screen, going, Dallas Stars, I unhex you and protect you from harm.
Oh my God.
Dallas Stars, I uncross you and protect you from harm. Which is I was thinking of the craft.
Yeah, yeah.
Where she's like,
Nancy,
I bind you.
What?
So it was opposite of that. And then on the third flick, scored.
That
Stars scored.
Like, on the flick.
Yes.
Wait, were you in real time?
Okay.
That's weirder. Yeah.
So we weren't in real time.
Crazy.
Because we had let the game start so that we could fast forward through the commercials. Eventually we end up catching up and we're watching live TV like peasants. And
oh my God.
No, that's a reference to Weird Al has this really great song that is actually not a parody. He sometimes does songs that are just in the style of a band, which are actually even funnier. And this one was it's in the style of the Pixies, which is a hard one to pull off. But he totally nails it.
Oh my
and
God.
It's called First World Problems.
Oh God, I gotta go listen
to this.
He's
listing off first world problems. And one of them's like, my house is so big, I can't get Wi-Fi in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I forget which car I drove to the mall.
And he's doing like fucking Frank Black's voice.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then there's like kind of like a Kim Deal. Like, ooh.
Oh my God. Like, I love it.
It's fucking funny.
Okay.
But one of them is like, tried to fast forward, can't, watching live TV.
Like a peasant.
So we just always say that. We're like, can't, I'm watching live TV.
Oh my God.
So yeah, anyway, so not only was my hockey witchcraft effective and immediate, it bent space and time because
that's amazing.
What I was watching was actually in the past. But we ended up after that, so after those first horrible 6 minutes, Columbus had scored 2 goals, and then we had 5 unanswered goals won 5-2.
See?
Which is that's a lot of goals in hockey.
Yeah, it's a lot of goals in hockey. Even for new hockey, it's a lot of goals. I just want to say the first thing, when you told me this story, the first thing I was like, that should be a very pleasant, unsurprising thing that you are that powerful. I mean, you really shouldn't. But it's like me. Every time something happens that I find remotely like, oh, shit, I did that. Like, I'm always like, oh, shit, I did that. But then I'm like, why am I surprised?
Did I do that?
Shit works. Like, why am I surprised? But like, I'm surprised every
fucking
time. I
totally dated myself with this.
Yeah, you did.
Steve Urkel quote. There you go.
You fucking did. But no, like, you are. But you are that powerful. You made this. You did it. You did it. So now, I mean, now you got to do it whenever they suck. You got to get that salt out. Get it out.
I think the thing is, I have to, what, like, I think the trick with really any kind of magic, but particularly with sporting magic, is because obviously I did quite a lot of magic when the Stars had their epic run in the bubble during the pandemic.
Yes.
Where they got to the Stanley Cup Finals, which was the first time we had been to the finals since 2000. So, but I think a part of me, when we got to that stage, was like, this, the Lightning, they're better. Like, they're
better.
Are a superior
team. Yeah.
They're like, yeah. You know, so I think one, you have to believe that you have the power.
Yeah, that's one.
That's important. Yep. Although not always the main ingredient. Because sometimes, like I said, I was just doing this kind of as a joke.
Right. I wonder if it's more powerful because you took, like, maybe. You thought it was like a whim. You know, you're like,
No, I would love to talk about that topic.
Yes.
I think that there is a lot to say about that. But let me circle back to that in a second. Yeah. But also, like, you have to think that the outcome is deserved.
Oh,
because I definitely have had moments where I'm like, should I witch this up? And I'm like, I don't know if this team really deserves to win. Like, wow. I don't think that they are playing their best. Like, I don't think they're in it to win it.
See, that's amazing that you have that ability and astuteness, because a lot of people just like, my team, I want them to win. Who cares? I don't care if they suck. You know, like, a lot of people just don't have that, like, nuance. And I agree with you. Like, sometimes they just don't play up to the fucking task, man. I mean, Devils.
Not that they weren't great. They had an excellent run. It was very historic.
Yes.
My favorite part, Jeremy or Mr. Scarlett remembers quite vividly. I did a spell specifically for our goalie because, sorry, this is turning into hockey talk with Scarlett.
It's really okay.
But hopefully it's entertaining even if you're not into hockey. But it was, we had, like, you know, a top tier goalie, and we had a backup goalie, and he was like an older guy. So backup goalies tend to either be older guys that have been in the league for a while and have never really been a starter,
or like, but they have straight up rookies. Set of
they're either rookies that are trying to get experience, or they're kind of lifelong backup guys,
right?
Because there's a very specific criteria as far as being a goalie.
Not everybody can do that fucking job.
Yeah, maybe you don't have the chops to be a marquee starting goalie, but you are good enough that, because the goalie plays all 60 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just them standing there in the back. So to be able to go into a situation like that and be ready to play 60 minutes cold, where you haven't been playing regularly, is a skill in and of itself.
Right.
And also to be able to come in relief, like if the goalie gets hurt or something, you have to pull the goalie and you have to jump in a game.
Yeah.
And you've just been sitting there on the bench with your baseball cap on.
Looking
like
terrifying.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and you haven't had time to stretch. You didn't skate with the team.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing. But anyway, our backup was this very delightful Kazakhstani/Russian player named Anton Khudobin, and his nickname was Dobby.
Yeah.
Like the from Harry Potter. Yeah. But he's just very silly and delightful. And he, our goalie got gravely injured, and our starter. And so he came in, and we were like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
There goes our run. And he, out of nowhere, was just like
on fire,
stealing games. Yeah, standing on his head, doing everything. And so I made, when he first started, when it was clear that he was going to be the goalie, I made this, I took green paper and I made this little magic circle and I put all these like sigils and herbs and crystals and stuff on it. And I wrote around the rim of it, "You shall not pass," but I got it translated into Russian.
Nice.
And then that game that I did that, the announcers kept saying, they were like, "Wow, it's like magic. Anton Khudobin is just, he's making these saves. He's like a wizard. It's just like, there's, it's just, he's magical saves." And they just kept saying that over and over. And every time I would be like, Mr. Scarlet. And he was like, "No, you're scaring me. This is scary."
It's not scary. Just give
in. No, he wasn't really.
Give in. Give in.
He's
on board. I know him.
He believes in my power.
He absolutely does. As does what's his name? That guy I live with. Mr. Blackbird also believes. He does.
That guy
I live with. He's, around. Okay, wait. Back to dying.
Yes.
Back to dying real quick.
Sorry, that vamp turned into...
I really liked it.
Quite a diversion.
I was going to take it in another sports direction and just thought, no, we can't. No more. Maybe next time. All right. So here are some of the things I wrote from the last one where there were some quotes. Now, I do not have the names of the people that these quotes are from, but I have some snippets of quotes. So I think this is a good place to put these in. So I wrote down the ones I liked. "We advance toward we advance toward death in
death
in shit." We were just talking about how we need more sound effects. "We advance toward death. We advance toward death in slight degrees," and I like that. Let's see. I liked. You know,
I love how on one hand that sounds ominous,
yeah,
and on the other hand it sounds reassuring.
Yeah, 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 right.
It's a very choose your own adventure on
you
that.
You don't die, like,
because if you're a glass half full kind of person, you're like, okay, you know, we just kind of ease into it. And if you're glass half empty, you're like, oh God, we're constantly hurtling towards death.
Well, you know, it was funny because she was saying, and I think about this too, is like most of my life is now behind me. You know, you have to think about, oh, I don't have as much time on this end as I did on the other end, so here we go slowly though, please. I wrote down, I can't remember this entire quote, but it reminded me because I had just read Kierke or Circe, and so this was on my mind anyway, but it said, you know, a lot of times people live their life and there's not much of a voyage, but a lot of tossing about. And I was like, oh man, like that's so great, because really, you know, you can just spend your whole life just like sailing around the same fucking island, you know, and not really venturing out or really, you know, making that Odysseus like voyage. You could just be, you know, where he comes back home and he's like, old man yells at cloud, you know, like, sorry, that's real.
I would very much like that epilogue of Odysseus as an old man yelling at a cloud.
He was not happy when he came home. But I mean, he liked to be on the voyage. I mean, he wanted to be on the great voyage. He didn't want to be fucking circling around his own island. That wasn't his jam. So, like, I think the point of that quote, though, I think is like, experience life to the as fullest as you want to make it. Like, don't just like wait for life to happen to you, basically. I don't know, that's what I got out of it.
Life comes at you fast.
Better be watching. Anyway, my favorite one though, and this is might blow your fucking mind, get ready for mind blowing, and this is not the whole quote, but I'm gonna just paraphrase. It's in no man's power to live long, but death is above and beyond power.
Whoa.
Fuck. Right?
What?
Yeah, man.
Wow, that has so many interpretations.
Indeed. And we discussed those. It was really, yeah, I really liked that one. Because that's just like, because I feel like in death you just transcend. Like, even if, I mean, I may just disappear into nothing, but that's still transcending. It's transcending what I am right now.
Well, I mean, in a lot of forms of religion, that actually is the ultimate goal, to just return to the everything.
Right.
To reach, yeah. It's like some people interpret like a state of nirvana or a state of zen as being this state of non-being, of non-consciousness, which, I mean, we can debate about that, but yeah. And not every religion that has defines Zen or Nirvana as that, but some of them do.
Right.
But I would say, I mean, just my two cents is I'm generally excited because right. I think it would be so much fun to be able to sense and perceive the universe mm. in ways that is limited by being in a human body.
Right. Oh yeah.
I think that that's so exciting.
Yes.
And to me, like, the worst case scenario would really be just it is nothing. And to
you know
me,
what the
that,
worst
I mean,
case
that...
scenario is to me? Is I wind up in somebody else's life experience, and now I am, like, five again, and I got to go through, like, high school and all the shit I hated all over again. I got to work some other job. Like, reincarnation, unless I get to come back as, like, a very loved cat or dog or something adorable. Like, I do not want to be another human person. Is that like, is that fucking terrible or what? Like,
I want to be an octopus.
Okay.
So bad.
Yes. That's fine. But like, not
or
another
like a space whale from Star Wars.
Not another white American. That's all I'm saying. Like, pick anything. Like, just don't put me exactly in the same, like, I don't want to go to public school again. But please don't make me go to high school.
Yeah, being around other human children, really the worst.
Just not great.
The worst.
Not great at all. Yeah, I don't want to do that. So
children are the worst.
So those were my takes on quotes. Oh, I have taken yet another step towards death. I am, I think I'm about ready to, like, finalize my contract with the Recompose people. And we've talked about this before. Yes. The people that turn your body into soil. Very mm-hmm, excited. Mm-hmm. That is now, I don't know that it is quite legal yet in New York, but it is it's in legislature. So that would be closer to me than where it is now, which is Seattle, which transport of a body from New Jersey to Seattle will cost quite a bit of money. I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, wow.
Well, I made sure to ask them because I don't want to enter into this contract if it's not reciprocal when it does become legal in other states, because I'm sure by the time, hopefully, touch wood, by the time it is my time, it will be legal in many states, I hope. So, yeah, they turn you into soil. And then, you know, I'm just ordinary fucking soil, remember? Humans.
Oh. But it is a person who I like quite a lot and would like to be better friends with. Let's say that. But who doesn't live here? So, anyway, but she was working as a geologist. And one of the first times I met her, she was like, we were both a little tipsy. And I was asking her about what she does, and she just started shouting, soil science! So now every time I see her, I just shout soil science at her.
Oh, God, that's
but
hilarious.
But I messaged her, because we don't really, like, talk online a whole lot, but I messaged her. I was like, I know this is really weird, but I immediately thought of you. And my friend was saying that she was researching, you know, human composting, basically. And she discovered that at some point someone actually tested the soil to see, like, how nutritious it was, being like, well, obviously humans, we're so cool and so smart. Mm-hmm. We must make excellent soil. And it turns out we just make okay soil,
yep,
which I just think is hilarious on so many levels. I think it's hilarious that we only make okay soil.
It's like the perfect irony for being a human being, right? Like, yeah, you're just normal soil. That's right.
Yeah, we're not that nutritious.
We're just, we're just normal and, like, you know, not special. Not special.
But I love that, first of all, some fucking nerd was right. like, hey, I wonder what kind of soil humans make. Right. And that his or her colleagues, instead of being like, are you a psychopath? We're like, let's do science.
Yeah.
And sure. find out.
For sure. We need to know. This is important. Well, I think it's a good, like, I think
people are going to ask that question, right? Like, because you can give the soil to you, like people can get your soil. It makes up to like a cubic foot of soil. I can't remember. Might be more than that. I don't know. But like you can like either parse it out in little bags or they'll let you pick up the whole bag full, whatever. But like, I'm sure somebody was like, I'm sure this is the best soil. It was my dad or whatever, you know, and it's like, nope. Just normal.
I'm gonna grow a rare and
no, you're not.
Impossible to cultivate orchid. Nope. And then they're like, meh.
No, you're not. You're just gonna grow maybe some tomatoes. Just like take the hardiest thing that grows, and that is what you're gonna grow. So yeah, I think I'm gonna it's you know, and what's great about that company is they are very upfront with their pricing. It is $7,000. It's $7,000 now. It'll be $7,000 tomorrow. And if you sign a contract now, it's never going to change. Like basically when I sign this contract, I will enter it into a payment agreement and start paying them monthly until my $7,000 is,
I gotta say, just the convenience of not having to deal with like the funeral industry and getting upselled and having all these hidden fees and charges and bullshittery that is generally kind of meaningless, especially at a time when you're grieving.
Yes.
I think just not dealing with the hassle of all that is a bargain.
Well, I will say that is definitely a big thing that is happening in legislature right now. In fact, I made a public comment on the public comment page of the White House where you can comment on congressional bills and whatnot. There is a bill proposed right now that is I guess a federal bill that would be about making funerals disclose their pricing either online, or you could go pick up a price like list from them. Basically, you know, they get you in there and they make you talk to them right now. A lot of them don't post online, but that what the advocacy is that is really hard to decide. And who has time to go to like 4 funeral homes to kind of fucking shop this shit? Nobody. And that's the last thing you want to do anyway, especially if.
Yeah, it's really taking advantage of people when they are in a vulnerable mental state. It would be like trying to ask someone to sign a contract when they are like sick or like.
Right.
Like it's just it's
gross.
It's not consensual, really, if you were in a state of emotional distress.
Yes.
And then also, like you said, like who has time to shop? Or I mean, depending on the burial customs in your community or your religion, there are sometimes like very strict rules about how fast you have to get this process done.
Yes.
So the talk, like as soon as they die, like the clock is ticking.
That's right.
So you literally don't have time to do that. So yeah, it is very predatory.
Yeah.
And that's gross.
So there is legislature now. I mean, I don't know if it passed. I don't know what state it's in, but I know not state actual, but like what level it's at right
not
now.
Not geographical state. Yeah. What stage?
Right, stage. Yeah.
I got that, you. I understand
that word. Yes. So I don't know where that's at, but if you are interested in advocacy like that, I highly recommend Caitlin Doherty's The Order of the Good Death. She runs that, I think, or people that she knows runs that page. It's like all about advocacy, all about death positivity. Very, very great wealth of knowledge there. So,
and she's delightful, has a lot of a healthy dose of humor.
Yes, lots of YouTubes. Lots of what's her YouTube mortician?
Ask a mortician.
Ask a mortician. Thank you so much. God, man, memory. Put me in the grave now. Just kidding. Anyway, so okay, so that's what I've been doing. Oh, but wait, one more add-on.
Yes.
What did I do today? Get ready.
What did you do today?
And I'm gonna fucking not get this right either because I don't have anything in front of me.
Can of pennies, can of pennies.
No, I mean I'm not gonna. I don't know where it is. I think it's in Amsterdam, but I'm not sure. There's an there's an organization called the Human Library. Now.
What?
Yeah, it sounds pretty baller, doesn't it? I mean, you love humans. Well, not really, but you do love libraries.
I do. I love libraries.
You will probably not be a fan of their slogan, but you might be. their slogan, or their, I mean, the thing I bought a t-shirt of today after the fact it says unjudge someone. So what this is get ready. If you, okay. Now there is like physical location that you can go and do this, but basically somebody signs up to be a book, which means you are going to tell your story and you usually have something about you that people would have a bias against. So like, I identify as a witch. That's not something that people probably, I mean, some people probably don't even know that witches still exist. You know, some people would be very anti, right?
Oh, yes.
Also, I identify as like a very heavily tattooed woman. I guess that would be another thing. I'm also I hate saying rape survivor. I mean, I don't want to say rape victim, but I am like, I have been raped. So like, I don't know what the survivor seems weird to me, because it wasn't like, I mean, I'm sure, yes, technically there was a point where I could have been, you know, killed. But I mean, I don't know. Survivor always seems weird to me. But anyway, so
it's still very victim adjacent.
Yes. Yes. But
because it's something that is being done to you that has diminished you in some
right,
way.
But I'm right. Exactly. Either way, so those are my three things that I could potentially like talk to people about. And then there are readers, people that want to come and learn about your life experience. And some of the topics are like, I don't know, I haven't seen Witch, but I've seen like, I am gay and also disabled, or autistic, or today. So today there were five to a room. It, like on Zoom, five to a room. But then the book, the first one was a person from France that is polyamorous, which was okay. Fascinating. And the second one was a person from Scotland who has survived two types of cancer, back to back too, an unrelated cancer, but still back to back. Decided not to do chemotherapy, decided to do homeopathic stuff. So very interesting, lots of information, really cool. And it's very like, they make it very clear, this is not a space to debate. This is not a space for your opinions. You are just like, you are here to ask questions and to center the book, don't center yourself. That's clearly very hard for people to do. But it was great. They were like, you know, if you have questions and they are uncomfortable questions, those are the kinds of questions that this is the space to ask those questions. So it was such a cool experience. I did do a screenshot of some of the little like ground rules, like interrupt to clarify or go deeper or to go slower. And then take a risk. The books do not take offense. And then like, be courageous and curious in your questions. And one of the things that I wanted to know, if the person from France, if they felt that it was more accepted in France than maybe US or UK or some other country, they found that it was still, that either people didn't know what it was, or just like were kind of offended by it. So yeah,
I feel like my assumption about France and their sexual mores is like, they assume that people are having affairs. And that,
yes,
there's sort of like a tacit like understanding that that happens, but also that you don't really talk about
right.
it. So, and then it's supposed to be kind of on the down low or hush hush. And obviously there's some gender inequality there, where men are seen as being much more free to have lovers outside of a marriage or whatever, whereas women are not. So there's some gender disparity there. So yeah, I could see that being the case of like defining it and being more open and public about it people would find unsettling.
Yeah, they said they were married, but they were very careful in public about holding their other partner's hand, or because, you know, the assumption of the cheating was the mm-hmm. thing they wanted mm-hmm. to avoid. But right, so it was really interesting, and there were some good questions. Again, always one person that wants to ruin it for everybody. But I mean, in general, it was really great. Everybody was very respectful to the people, and I thought that was really refreshing. I don't know if this would be a person that would even sign up for this. Probably not. But I would have a problem. I would probably have a problem if it was like KKK member, you know, like I don't want to,
hey, I'm a pedophile,
right? Well, I don't know, like that. Yeah, I don't really want to ask them questions. Maybe, like, why?
I mean, on the one hand, yeah. I wouldn't want to give somebody a spotlight or a platform,
right?
But on the other hand, like, I would really like to know what goes on in the head of people yeah. that do things that I find pretty despicable,
absolutely reprehensible, right? Now, I know, and, you know, I know.
I think that's part of my fascination with true crime, right? Because I'm like, what makes people do things that for, you know, 99% of the population is completely abhorrent?
That's why Mindhunter, you know, was like, so good. I wish that would come back. God, it drives me crazy that it won't. But that's why that series is so good, because it shows people actually talking to killers to find out what they're fucking thinking.
Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, it was,
I mean, I've read some really interesting stuff of people that were formerly involved with specifically like white nationalism mm-hmm. or
yeah.
like racial hate and stuff. And it's really fascinating. Yeah. Obviously, you know, your mileage may vary on how self-aware these people are or not. Cause I was reading this very interesting article about a woman who, through various boyfriends and stuff, sort of got swept up in the, you know, Unite the Right
yeah.
movement kind of shit. And, you know, women are not very equal in that movement. First of all, they're just not well represented. Like, there aren't a lot of women in that
right.
movement. Second of all, the women that are in there, it's a very, like, radical, traditional view of women. Like, it intersects quite heavily with like the incel movement
right.
and you know, keep women barefoot and pregnant and bullshit oh my like God. That
yeah.
So it was very, this is a completely different topic, but it was very interesting because she talked a little bit about, you know, when you kind of get swept up in this
like fervor,
yeah, well, that she was kind of because she was one of the few women in it. And she was being celebrated for being sort of like the right kind mm-hmm, of woman mm-hmm. that she was getting positive feedback from other men, but also other women, and women would like write to her for like advice and shit. And like, that's not what she kind of set out to be.
Yeah.
She was just sort of along for the ride a little bit, but she was getting all this positive feedback from people within the movement of, oh, I look up to you and stuff. And then you kind of get caught up with that. Like,
yeah.
not only are you feeding off the positive feedback, but then it's also like, now you've sort of set up this persona
yeah.
intentionally or unintentionally, and you feel like you don't want to, quote unquote, let people down. Of course, these are absolutely the people that you should let down in a big
yeah,
way.
But sure.
But it was just, and like I said, you know, I had to read it with a grain of salt because I felt like she was downplaying certain
yeah.
situations
yeah.
and I felt like maybe she was not being completely honest and was sort of maybe not as self-aware as she could be, or kind of holding back a little bit. But yeah, I mean, there is a morbid curiosity, and there's also I mean, not just like a morbid curiosity, but it's sort of like, well, if we can figure out how people enter into these
things,
distasteful lifestyles.
I was gonna say,
like, how
I think former
how can you,
like, former cult member is one. That's one I've seen.
Oh, that's super fascinating.
If somebody was a former white supremacist or white nationalist or KKK member, I might be interested in that. Like, I'd like to listen in. I mean, let's hear what you got to say. How'd you fucking get out? You know, I want to hear about that part.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I kind of know what goes on. Well, I mean, not really. Tell me everything. But, like, you know, I have curiosity about things that I, like you said, like, I completely find abhorrent. So, yeah, I don't know. But most of the things that I have seen in their newsletter and stuff are not that. And the guy that was introducing today said, you know, we tend not to be political. So I don't know that they seek out people with those kinds of
biases. But on the other hand, I mean, like, yeah, it's very in the eye of the beholder, because to me, being gay or
that could be
having a disease, exactly, or being a witch, or like plenty of those things to me are completely uncontroversial.
That's right.
But to other people, it is political.
Right.
They see it as like a political or moral issue. So, I mean, to me, where I draw the line is you can think whatever you want in your own stupid head.
Like, right. Right.
I mean, I can choose to hang out with you or not.
Right.
But it's certainly not illegal and it's not harming me. It's when you are either physically causing harm or your rhetoric is calling for or inflicting serious harm against people. Like, decisions you are making are affecting the roofs over people's heads,
right,
or their livelihoods or their physical safety,
right,
then it stops being, because listen, if you want to, I mean, there's so many things that like are 100% not my business, that I don't care about,
right,
you know, that aren't affecting me at all, that I think are dumb or I think are dangerous or I think are kind of morally bankrupt. But like, if it's just shit that you're thinking in your head, I don't really care.
Or shit like, that has, I mean, absolutely nothing to do with me, or like it doesn't affect me at all. I don't fucking
yeah
care.
I mean, I probably wouldn't want to be their friend,
right?
But exactly, you know, I certainly don't think that I'm not gonna waste time subjecting them to my like public vituperation, you know?
Right. Yeah,
but that's the thing, it's sort of in the eye of the beholder,
right,
to be like
I think people were a little weirded out by polyamory. I have friends and also follow many accounts that, you know, people are polyamorous and I know about it. And it was more interesting to hear this person's, like their structure of their relationships. That was interesting to me. But yeah, I don't think everybody in my group was like, there was one person that had never even heard of it. So, and I think that's probably not uncommon. I don't know. It was really great. It was a great experience. I can't wait to do it again. Do I want to be a book? Maybe. I don't know. I welcome people to ask questions. I think it's great. I was also thinking maybe we should host a death cafe. Might be fun.
Yeah. Or host like kind of a AMA style human book thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, field some tough questions.
Ooh, that's all on you. No, I'm just kidding. No, I would do
shit,
it.
I love talking about myself.
It's true.
Send us your questions.
Send us your questions. We'll answer them.
I would love to talk about me.
I would let me talk about
myself. I self identify as a benevolent narcissist.
Yes,
so
you do.
Ask me about me.
I love it. I think that's all I have. Oh my god. I mean, for right now. Oh, I'm making rye bread tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah, you asked me if I was into the rye, and I was like, listen, just send me bread.
Just send me bread. I don't really care
just
what it looks
bread.
Like. I don't care what it is.
The question is bread. The answer is always yes.
The answer is yes. Did you get some cheese? Did you get you some good quality cheese?
Yes, I got some double cream brie.
Oh, fuck, put it on it.
I know, and I got some guacamole too.
Oh my god, yum.
Oh, I'm gonna make a really yummy toast. Ooh, I got some pine nuts. Maybe.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Delicious. Okay, and we should probably end on food, because that's where we always start. Start and end. Start and end with deliciousness. Do you have anything else that you would like to discuss today?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff.
This
is more, I was going to tease maybe. We had talked about, we weren't sure exactly how long this conversation was going to go. It obviously went plenty long, so we're fine.
Yeah.
But Blackbird had mentioned, oh, well, maybe we could talk about the Death Tarot card, which I think we definitely should do.
Absolutely.
So I would like to tease that as maybe not the next episode, but as an episode coming your way soon. You definitely, if you are excited about this topic and can't wait, you should go back and listen to some of our episodes where we did some verses.
Yes.
We did Empress versus
High Priestess. Yes.
And we did
Hermit versus Hangman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. So it'd be death versus death. Just death.
I mean, Yeah, we probably could do a whole episode, on the
death card. Yeah,
I would maybe we could do like a bad card episode because obviously people like get death, freaked out devil, about drawing death tower. And devil tower.
Yeah, let's do it. Bad cards unite.
Bad cards. Okay. I like this idea.
We're gonna do it. All right. Well, I mean, if we're all good,
hocus pocus, bitches.
We did it.